Here we are for our round table. We have got Jake, Catherine, and Matt here. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello,
what
hello. How are you doing?
Good.
Apparently, we're chilly. It's winter because we're wearing jackets and sweaters.
Yeah, everybody.
You can't even inside. It's Colorado.
I'm actually in my slippers.
Whoa.
You can do that. You know,
I've been inside all day.
Excellent. Well, this is going to be a fun conversation because this is part one of a two-parter. So all of you out there, listen for part two next week. We're going to talk today about how to meet someone the old-fashioned way. Now, by old-fashioned, we don't mean like do some kind of basket that someone's going to bid on at the Pioneer Church Social back in the 1800s. We simply mean
mail order.
Sadly,
I'm picturing a scene from the musical Oklahoma here.
Sadly.
What about Seven Brides for Seven Brothers?
There it
is. That still on the table?
That is officially the worst musical of all time. Let's not even get into it. No, I can't even deal.
The story is awful.
But anyway, sadly, old fashioned just means someone meeting someone in person. That is that old, apparently, and that difficult. So, because we know that now with online and dating apps and stuff like that, which we're going to get into next week, that's how a lot of people are finding love. But I brought all y'all in here today because you are so old and so old fashioned that you met your significant others actually like in face to face situations. So we're going to talk about that. I'm excited.
That's true.
Yeah. So the first thing, though, I want you guys to speculate on this because, you know, even though it wasn't your story, I want you to kind of address, because you're all young adults. Why do you think it's so hard to meet people nowadays? What is the big struggle here? And was it hard for you? Do you feel like you got this like holy grail situation and you're just like, oh, my goodness, I actually met someone for real and it just was like God shining down on me or something. But why do you think it's so difficult nowadays?
I mean, I really do think part of it is that a lot of people are growing up. Like if they're in their teens right now, they're growing up with their community being online. I mean, this is the stereotypical answer, mm-hmm. right? But I think it's a big factor. And part of that, like we're all in our mid-20s-ish, right? We grew up with phones for the most part. I don't know, when did you guys get a phone?
Like I was 17.
Okay. Yeah.
High school, college.
I think I was 17 too. And I think like conversations just gotten harder.
I think too, sort of the nicheification of culture.
What does that mean?
I'm tracking.
It's a word I
prefer to say nicheification.
Right. Nicheification.
Yeah, but then it sounds too much like Nietzsche.
Okay.
And like you're going on vacation with Nietzsche.
No, yeah, nicheification. Like we each. Part of the advent of this technological digital age is that we can each craft our own experience in ways that people couldn't before. We can make sure that our communities online and then that rolling into our real lives are completely, we can create our own bubbles in ways that we've never been able to before. And so we can custom pick, you know, the platform that we want to interact on and the people we interact with on that platform and who we allow into our lives in ways that we couldn't before. Without affluence, we were forced into community with people that were messy, but we had nowhere else to go. Now we can retreat into our digital corners of the internet and we don't have to give any of our time to people who disagree with us because now we can go find all the people who agree with us. So I think that rolls over into the dating world in the sense of we have this subconscious expectation with a lot of things, including relationships, that people need to fit my particular needs perfectly or else I haven't found the right person. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't think that has boiled over into the front of conscious. It's just what we're used to. We pick our meals at restaurants and we can customize them however we want. We do that on our phones, our laptops, with our jobs. And so when we can design anything we want, we think we can afford to do that with people too.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think in tandem with that, just the whole world has opened up to us, which is a little bit problematic. I mean, I remember my grandparents, it was just like, who lives in the farm next door? Or like with my mom, it's like, you just went to Bible college because if you didn't go to Bible college, you were not going to find someone. But you all paired up at Bible college and that was just what you had available to you. And now you're just like, you can talk to someone in Bolivia or Bangladesh or wherever. And it's just too many choices. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I read a Bustle article about that the other day, about how a lot of millennials are sort of addicted to the idea of new things. And so I think having options when it comes to dating, if something goes wrong with somebody, it's easier to, you don't have to work it out. You can just go download a new app and find someone else who might be better. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it sounds like that's the same thing Jake was saying. Right. And I would 100% options. Agree with that. There's a book called, I don't know if we've talked about this before on the podcast, but Modern Romance by Aziz Ansari, mm-hmm. in which he says something in there. I listened to the audiobook version of it because I'm a millennial and I don't read. But
well,
he says,
Aziz's delivery, so come on.
And it is quite a funny telling, actually. But he wrote the book because he's like, I'm a like middle-aged kind of border millennial person, and I want to figure out how to date in the real world, but I don't really know how. Because there's no instruction manual out there for it, which is very real. There is no instruction manual out there for it. But at some point in the book, I think he said, basically, Lisa, what you were just saying, that like one or two generations ago, you were limited to like a 2 mile square radius of possible relationships. Now it's just, it's unending. Mm-hmm. And if one option doesn't work, there's an infinite number of other ones.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, so I want you guys each to share your story in 30 seconds or less, like how you functionally met the person that you are now with. Jake, I know you're started in preschool, but you're going to have to just make it very quick.
Okay? You were in your corner and she was in her
just
corner.
Just so everyone has a high level idea of what we're talking about when we refer to your stories.
Right. No, that just means I've had a lot more time to practice and hone my story to 30 seconds. No, we met for
you
the first time.
You only have 20 seconds left.
At FCA.
Okay.
And it was after
sports,
after football in high school. Okay. And she was speaking and I was listening and I was impressed with her passion for the subject. And then after that, we got to meet and connect again because she had mutual friends and she was in youth group. And so then we kind of developed our relationship through after school sports and through our church's youth group.
Okay. Mm. And you married at what age?
19.
Okay. So she was really the person you dated.
Yeah.
Before getting married.
Right.
Okay.
There were
That's
girls
a really
I was interested
story.
In before, but I never dated anyone until her.
Okay. Catherine?
So I was sitting in my work cube one day, and my friend, who was also my roommate at the time, texted me and was like, hey, I've been really thinking about getting a puppy. Do you want to come look at puppies with me today? And I thought we were going to the Humane Society or something, but we were actually going to these people's house. And I got there, and there was a cute guy sitting on the couch with his family who was raising these puppies, and he was just there visiting his parents. And I started talking to his mom and then found that guy on Facebook. So my story does have a new fashioned element, I guess. And then waited a while, and like 6 months later, out of the blue, he messaged me and asked me out.
Wow. Okay.
Raise puppies. Good to know. So I met my lady in college.
Lady. Whose name is Steph. Let's just call her Steph.
If you want her to like you, you'll call her Steph. Mm-hmm. I met her in college, and I remember it was like I was on the floor of the library where you weren't allowed to talk. You were only allowed to study. And it was in a specifically quiet room on that quiet floor. And I walked in and there's all these like honor students in the room. And Steph is in the corner and she's the absolute most serious one. She has like something covering her ears, I think, probably just her hands. And I was like, wow, she's way too intense, way too studious, way too into this Bible class or whatever she was in. And I was like markedly not attracted to her.
Yeah, because being into the Bible is very unattractive.
Tales
okay.
oldest time.
Boy
meets
like,
girl studies the Bible,
studious.
Boy doesn't like girl. Yeah.
The girls listening are throwing down their
but
Bibles.
But then she got Matt pages. Saved, and this all worked out somehow in the end. Okay.
Isn't this the plot of A Walk to Remember?
Okay. Go
no,
ahead.
But then I got to know her a little bit through mutual groups of friends. Ended up, honestly, like years in college getting to know her through a couple different avenues. And then I think where it all clicked for me was we started to go on bike rides together with one or two other people. She was in a biking class. I loved riding and I was like, can I join the class? Not really. So I just rode with the group anyway. And then it kind of trickled to just the two of us after a while. And it was very nice. It was very nice.
Courtship via bicycle Good. Rides. All right. That's super old school.
Okay. So this doesn't apply to Jake too much, but you two how many failed attempts did you have at relationships? Either ones that started and tanked, or people you asked out and they said no, or because again, I think we need to kind of debunk this whole idea that it's some holy grail of like mystification that the stars are going to align, and like sometimes it's just some trial and error, people.
And for, even for me, I know you left me out of it, but the fact that I didn't actually date anyone before was not because I wasn't interested. It was because I had a couple that didn't pan out.
Oh, okay.
And so,
yeah.
You know, I had one where we got to know each other. We lived near each other. It seemed like we were into each other, hung out a couple of times in groups, but then discovered that I was being used as jealousy bait for her ex-boyfriend. And so
okay.
that one I had thought was going to move towards a more serious relationship. And even before her, there was one that my mom tried some real old-fashioned courtship type moves by inviting her over to help clean our house so that I could get time with her. Cleaning our house.
Jake, Focus does have counseling and you need to get
surprise,
over
surprise, surprise.
For next week's episode.
I didn't ever date.
Right.
I had some trials.
I had a lot of trials. I feel like I've actually had almost every scenario of dating you can have. I've dated someone who had kids. I've dated someone from another country. I've dated somebody who was a family friend. I've dated somebody I met, you know, just randomly. I mean, it's just like, mm-hmm. Yeah, dating is hard. I was texting my friend about this morning. It is frustrating and it's hard. And anybody that says dating is the fun part, I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I always had a blast on dates.
Okay,
the stars would align every time.
So this question doesn't apply to Matt.
You were just wondering, how do I narrow this whole thing down? Because I have so many awesome
five eligible bachelorettes.
It's actually, like, I would say there are three quote-unquote relationships, which were really like, there were two girls I went on some dates with in college where I was like painfully immature and just not ready for any level of commitment, or just like, also just, oh my gosh, so immature at the time. And then like a flirtationship that went on for years in high school. Mm-hmm. And that's the one where I'm like, my piece of advice is, if it's too easy, then it's like, maybe you're not even trying and it's not a good idea, mm-hmm. sort of a thing. Okay. I think that's my experience.
Do you guys feel like you had to work harder at kind of getting into the swing of dating in an in-person relationship? Like, for example, let me say, you know, and again, we're talking about this next week, folks, but I will say that maybe online folks have the quote unquote luxury of being a little more passive in their communication and not taking as many risks because they can just email, or they can, God forbid, wink at someone or send them some emoji or whatever. And they do a lot of more passive kind of stuff. Whereas if you're face to face with someone and you're either being asked out, or you know you're going to ask someone out, or you have to realize pretty quickly in, like, do I like this person? Don't I like them? Am I going to end it right now? Do I want to, quote unquote, waste all my time with this person if I'm not sure that I really like them? What are some of the specifically awkward challenges of kind of taking a relationship seriously?
I think you can't project that perfect image, like Jake was saying, that you have online. You can't construct what you say perfectly. I had a horribly embarrassing experience my second date with Cody. I was dog sitting and I was supposed to walk her dog, but it was after work and so it was dark and I really shouldn't have walked her dog alone, but it was also an excuse to ask him. So I was like, hey, I have to walk this dog. Would you want to come with me and bring your dog? So the thing was, though, her dog only would go to the bathroom in this one spot at her apartment that was the dog park. And I had been to her apartment once and she showed me where it was, but I was, you know, was kind of nervous. And so he gets to the apartment and I'm like, hi, you know, I've seen him once before. We haven't really been texting at all. This is just basically our only interaction. And I was like, yeah, I'm supposed to take this dog to the dog park. So we start walking and we're talking. I'm like, man, I really thought the dog park was over here. And then we kind of turn another corner and I cannot find the dog park. And I probably looked like the most ditzy girl because I was like, I think it's over here. And we walked around this apartment complex for like way too long. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, he thinks I'm the most blonde. Like, I'd like to say it was a very confusing complex, but it probably wasn't. I'm just horribly directionally challenged. But I think had that been like a conversation on Facebook, I could have crafted my answers and talked about like things I do well and the things that are interesting. But when our relationship was being built only on these in-person experiences, I was like, okay, here it is. I'm horrible at directions and I'm kind of ditzy sometimes. Like, So, I mean, it turned out well, but I think that's what keeps people from dating in person is that it's scary and you have the potential to look very dumb.
You can do some weird things. My wife and I still look back to what we refer to as the most awkward day ever, where we were kind of right on that cusp of we had been friends for a little while, but, you know, we were starting to, I think, each of us feel something deeper for the other one, but we hadn't fully realized it. And, like, we just had this day where we were trying to, like, I tried to make a joke and it didn't land. She didn't hear it the right way. And so she took it the wrong way. And then she in reverse did the same thing. We just had this awkward back and forth for several hours, like over the course of different, you know, sports activities, after school activities that we happened to be doing together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the confines of a Facebook message or, you know, an email or a text thread, you have so much time to craft things and try to, you know, overthink things, where we had to hash out this really weird day with passive aggressive comments that were meant as jokes but interpreted the wrong way, and then jokes that came across as passive aggressive. Like, it was just the weirdest thing, where neither of us had ill intent, and it's super awkward and painful, but it proved to be good for us in that we both learned something that day, that neither of us was running away from that, because we kind of kept coming back to it to say, what's going on? Like, what's happening? This is really weird. Yeah. And so even before we started dating, we kind of had this interaction that showed, hey, this person's here for, you know, more. They're not just going to run away from you.
Yeah. I think one of the big things, too, is just the fact that I have guys that I turn down for dates that I still go to church with. I have guys that I dated that I still go to church with. And so it's kind of these people live beyond. They're really in your sphere and in your acquaintance. And it's not like you can just close them out or ghost them or hopefully only talk to someone 12 states away from you so there's no pain or no, you know, no pain, no gain, whatever. So it is. You're dealing with real people and real hearts and stuff. And so I think that's something to keep in mind as well. Okay, another question. How close is your spouse, fiance, whatever, to what you first imagined when you were dreaming up who you were going to be with someday? And because I want to kind of release some of that stigma too, of like having stereotypes, having ideals, having, and what, in light of that, what has surprised you about how the relationship has progressed and how maybe you've discovered something that you really like or really see that you need as a counterbalance in the way you're relating to this person that's maybe not what you originally thought you'd hope for, but now you see as a good thing.
Yeah, so Steph and I have been talking about this a lot lately. Well, not a ton. Here's what I wanted from you. And this is where you fall short. No, not at all, actually. But we were talking about specifically a scenario where a guy would not go out with a girl because she was like below a certain height. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's weird. And she's like, no, that's wrong. And I was like, no, it's weird. Like, okay, mm-hmm. Let's temper it. The conversation got to a point where she said something to the effect of, well, I grew up in the culture and the world where I was told to write a list of every quality I wanted from my husband, pray about it, and those things would basically all come true. Mm-hmm. And her perspective is like, this is generally not the way to go. And she was very honest. She was like, listen, like I still had kind of that mental list. And when you asked me out, I knew you didn't have everything on that list. And I said yes anyway. And I was like, oh, well, I'm sure glad you did. She's like, so am I. But if I had stuck to that, then like we wouldn't be dating. So there's some huge upsides, I would say, to not meeting expectations.
Yeah, that's good.
And for her, I think she's like way more mature and put together than I would have ever imagined the girl I'm dating or engaged to be. Mm-hmm. At the time, like before we even started dating.
I might be different in the fact that I don't think I ever had a specific list or a specific image in my head of who I wanted, which in some ways led me to make mistakes in dating because I dated people that now I realize didn't have qualities that I should have valued more. Mm-hmm. But what I ended up doing as I dated more was finding guys in my life who were more like brothers or people I worked with or people that I really admired and trying to look for those qualities in other guys. And I definitely found all those qualities in Cody. So I think I don't know if that made it a little more realistic because I was thinking of real people instead of an image. But if I looked at those things and the things I specifically felt like I needed in somebody, he's exactly what I wanted. But I never had I'd really like a blonde, blue eye. You know what I mean? I didn't really have that growing up. I guess, I don't know why.
No. No, good point.
No, I mean, I wasn't raised to make those types of lists either. And so I didn't put that together. But I think the thing I've learned now, you know, I'm 10 years into marriage, is that the woman I married that I knew I wanted to spend the rest of my life with is very different now than she was 10 years ago. And that's a beautiful thing. Like, she's turned into a woman that I couldn't have predicted. Mm-hmm. And so there's an aspirational nature to dating. And I know I've mentioned that before, of whether you've made a list or not, the person you marry is going to be different 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. And you have the opportunity in a relationship to shape and mold one another as you grow, just naturally. You mm-hmm. don't have to force it.
Okay.
And so that's good. A cool thing.
All right. As we close out, I just want rapid fire advice from you guys on dating in person, how to meet people, how to approach them, how to ask them out, how to make this happen, how to have a relationship that's not like freakishly weird because they're actually in your face and you're having to introduce them to friends and family and all the other normal stuff. What do you guys think?
Be interested in people, make eye contact with them, and just truly be interested in them, no matter if you're attracted to them or not, because either they'll have a friend or they might be attracted to you, because everybody wants to be interesting. And I think you can find a connection with somebody if you ask enough questions. That's how I ended up meeting Cody, was because I made a connection with his mom, who then introduced me to him. Hmm. Yeah.
Good.
I say embrace the impromptu nature of life. I think we get hung up on formulas and is this set up the right way and has every I been dotted and T crossed. But a lot of the beauty of our relationships comes through rolling with the punches and embracing the awkwardness that happens. And so don't overanalyze that. Mm-hmm. Go with it.
Yeah.
And I think I would say add an element of danger to the first date or an interaction that you have with somebody that you're interested in, because it danger, really shows huh? you who they are.
Okay.
What kind of danger are you talking about?
Nice. I would say don't project too far out. Don't put too much import on it. I mean, again, just chill. This is an interaction with a person. You may go on a date. You may not be okay with it. I mean, I've agonized over, should I turn dates down because I don't know. I don't want this guy to get the impression that XYZ. Find out he's not even thinking anything beyond the first date. And I'm like way off making this big storyline out of something that's way too much. So, again, yeah, meet and date as many people as you can if that's the, you know, point of getting to know people and whatever. I mean, not that you have to be a weird player or anything, but just make it happen and you're going to find someone. I like being open to people. And again, I always say they're a brother or sister in Christ and they can remain that even if you don't end up being together. So great thoughts, you guys. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.